Chapter 39. The heralds of Number 7, the ghost of a swiftly murdered planet in the domain of Dominicus, arrived that evening, around 43 minutes before the habitation lights were due to go off. They had already been dimmed to preserve power, as apparently the defense mechanism locked inside a lictor did not need light to fight by, nor senses of any kind, in fact. Mercy Morn said they did not even feel pain. Unlike them, you generally needed light and felt pain. But you were the reverend daughter of the ninth house. The first was negotiable, and the second was irrelevant. When the first herald broke through the Mithraeum's honour guard of asteroids, it was not particularly terrifying. You had made your preparations. You sat on the floor before your window that looked out onto nothing. The great sword you had taken off and laid before you, as though it were a beloved talisman and not a sickening, befuddling relic, a back-breaking burden your dead self told you to carry. You were almost fond of it, except when you looked at it, at which point all fondness was dispelled. The courier of the beast landed on a part of the Mithraeum's hull very far away from you. You did not feel the impact or hear a sound. It was only when Augustine's voice came over the communicator, "Confirmed impact, West Quadrant, Third Ring, Engineering Room," that you even knew it existed. God's voice, "How many minutes before you're in the halo?" "Depends. Impact again. Also west. Third ring, same location. Are they spearheading? Impact. North quadrant, habitation ring. Ortus, that's quite near you." A crackle. "I'm fine." Another crackle. Mercy's voice.
"Less chatter on the line. Wait until they breach. They'll try to smother us first and roast the station."
"No temperature change," said God.
Then you felt it. The first vibrational thump, and it sounded astonishingly close. From above you, direction was difficult, thanagetic sense irrelevant. What sounded like a small meteor had struck the hull of the Mithraeum. Silence before, and silence after. There was no distant roaring perceived through the shudder of the hull and shutters, no monstrous noise, no pageantry. The messengers of the resurrection beast arrived without fanfare, and for a moment you resented the anticlimax. Augustine, on the comm.
"Confirmed. East Quadrant, habitation. That's you girls. Don't bite your tongues."
You thought it was one of Augustine's little jokes, until the fear hit you. It hit as a smell. Your nostrils quivered, and your head was filled with a strange petroleum odour, redolent of old machines. But there was a sweetish underlayer to it, like vomit. It assaulted you in the manner of a migraine headache. Then the punch, like the saint of joy to one's kidneys, low in your stomach, racing up the central line of your body, seizing your heart in its teeth and shaking. Your palms ran wet. You made a gulping, galloping sound in the back of your throat. You tried to close your eyes as though that was some escape, but it was not. You tilted forward, gasping, your pulse bellowing, your ears deafened. You were suddenly convinced that there were little things crawling over your skin. You rubbed frantically at your forearms. You shivered convulsively, as though to fling them off. You touched obsessively at your ears. You cringed when a stray hair fell across your forehead. But as you lurched, fretted, perceived, you fought. You made yourself one inhalation and exhalation, reduced yourself to one sensation, following it from down at the toes, up all the lines of your body to the crown of your head. As the sensation rose, you filled with contempt for a stranger's insanity. You had enough of your own to contend with. After a few minutes, you came to with nothing more than a sense of embarrassment, a desire to itch, and a mild heat rash. Ianthe was screaming over the comm. Everyone waited politely for her to stop. You said, "Is that all?" And with a crackle, God said,
"It will be like this until they breach Harrowhark."
The Princess of Ida's voice came over the communicator, a little ragged.
How long?
Over an hour, said Mercy.
And Augustine said, Sit tight, kiddies. The fun starts now.
Your room had long ago plunged into near-complete darkness, leaving no distraction from the great rocking thump, thump, thump of body after body flinging itself against the great mass coating the hull. There was nothing to see. The shutters were down. But you could feel the terrible vibration, hear the groan of chitin on metal, the cataclysmic rending of steel by fungus claw.
It was very cold. A fine shimmer of frost now coated your cheeks, your hair, your eyelashes. In that smothering dark, your breath emerged as wisps of wet grey smoke. Sometimes you screamed a little, which no longer embarrassed you. You understood your body's reaction to the proximity. Screaming was the least of what might happen. God's voice came very calmly over the comm.
10 minutes until breach.
And you walked to your death like a lover.